2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. Besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Praise the Lord. May the Lord bless that reading of his word to us tonight. Lord, we thank you for your word. Speak to us, we pray, and bless us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. What tremendous privileges we have as those who are the children of God, born again of his Spirit, born into the family of God. Peter can speak about grace and peace being multiplied. That's how God deals with us. He gives and he gives and he gives again. And grace and peace multiplied. We need his grace because we don't deserve anything. Grace is undeserved favour. God has for us abundant gifts, abundant blessings, but it's by his grace. We don't deserve any of it, but it's by his grace. We don't deserve anything, but in Jesus Christ and through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we are brought into that place where we are children of God, born again of his Spirit, heirs of the Father, joint heirs with the Son. Grace and peace. All these are days we're living in where we need to know the peace of God. We need to know the peace of God. There are situations which we go through, we need to know the peace of God. And if we know the peace of God in our hearts and lives, we can know the blessing of God. And we can be living witnesses and living testimonies of the work of God. He's given to us, his divine power has given to us all things that we need, all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Everything that we need has been given to us. All things that pertain to life, which is in the risen Lord, he rose again from the dead. That's the life we're talking about. Life that's victorious over death. And godliness comes through knowing him who has called us. He's called us to glory, not to shame, but he's called us to glory. And it's called us to virtue. Now that word virtue is an interesting word. Even the English word is an interesting word. Because that prefix, that first part, vir, or vir, if you do the English pronunciation, V-I-R, is the Latin word for man. That's why we use the word virile. That's where it comes from. It's the Latin word for man. The Greek word is arete, which means manliness, or in the terms that it's trying to convey, valour, that braveness. And what's been given to us is glory and virtue, that braveness, that courageousness to stand in the things of God and to glory in the things of God. He's given to us everything that we need, everything that pertains to godliness. Because we know the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour and Lord. We've been called to glory. We've been called to virtue, valour. There used to be many hymns that were sung years ago about Christian valour, bravery. May we be valiant soldiers. Men and women alike, may we be valiant soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a battle on. I think sometimes modern Christians forget there's a battle on. They're in it for all the goodness and blessings and gifts and answers to prayer that they can get. But you know, there's a battle on. And many a modern Christian doesn't want to be involved in a battle. But there's a battle on. We've got to be aware of it. Ephesians speaks about it. Corinthians speaks about it. 2 Corinthians, that is, chapter 10. Speaks about the battle, the fight that we're in. There's a conflict on. Remember that hymn? I can't remember how it all goes, so you'll have to help me. Right? He who would true valour see against all disaster, let him with constancy follow the master. Praise the Lord. True valour, follow the master. And men and women alike, we're called to be valiant soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. What has he given to us? In verse 4, it tells us what he's given to us. He's given us his word. That's what we need. Here's his word. But he can also give us his word by the power and the revelation of the Holy Spirit working in our hearts and lives. We can get an understanding of this word by the revelation of the Spirit. He's given to us exceeding great and precious promises. How are we going to know these exceeding great and precious promises? Read your Bible. They're there. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will bear witness to these exceeding great and precious promises, that we might have our faith quickened to believe and to receive all that God has provided for us. He will keep us. He will lead us. He'll protect us. He'll bring us through times of trial and persecution and opposition. There are difficult pathways to go through, but he will bring us through. In him we can be more than conquerors. He's given to us everything, all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Hallelujah. Not what the flesh wants. Or often the flesh, if it were let loose, would want all the things that are ungodly. And those things that are ungodly, they're not life, they're death. He's given to us everything that pertains to life and to godliness. And what does it explain here? That by these, the exceeding great and precious promises, that's why we need to know the word of God. That's why we need to get a hold of the word of God. That's why we need to stand on the word of God, because here are the exceeding great and precious promises, and the Holy Spirit will bear witness to those great, exceeding great and precious promises and bring them to us as we move in Him. By these exceeding great and precious promises, you might be partakers of the divine nature. That is a huge promise. We are partakers and can be partakers of the divine nature in all its purity, in all its holiness, in all its goodness, in all its power and strength, in all its glory. We can be partakers of the divine nature through the Lord Jesus Christ, through him who loved us and gave himself for us. That what people might see is Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's manifesting and revealing Jesus Christ. By these exceeding great and precious promises, we can be partakers of the divine nature. That's where God is leading us. That's where these promises bring us. It's not catering to the flesh to give the flesh all that it wants, these exceeding great and precious promises. That's not what it's about. It's about becoming more and more like him. Becoming more and more like him in all his glory, in all his holiness, in all his purity, in all his power, in all his strength. Partakers of the divine nature. What's happened? To bring us into that position, to get us ready for that tremendous gift from God, we've escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We've escaped the corruption. It's that corruption, it's that sinfulness that separates us from God and all he has from us. If we walk according to his word and the power of the Holy Spirit, we can know all the things that pertain unto life and godliness. Walk in the way of the flesh, walk in the way of your own human will, and all you'll receive is death. Spiritual death and ungodliness. You see, John wrote those words of guidance in his first epistle, and chapter 2, where he spoke about the world. We don't want the world to have its effect on our lives. We want the power of God to be working in our lives. And these are necessary words today when so many believers are being led astray by what the world has to offer. And sometimes it seems to me that many of these televangelists, what they're offering is the world if you comply with what they conform to what they say. You can have riches beyond your dreams. You can have untold wealth. You can have millions of pounds in the bank. I've got millions of pounds, not me, but the televangelists, they've got millions of pounds. And that's what they're putting. It's of the world. The Bible says the love of money is a root of all evil. And you can't try pandering to people's love of money if you're in the Lord's work. We're after spiritual things. And John, in his epistle, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, gave these instructions, this advice. Love not the world. It seems to me today that there's a very great danger for many believers to be drawn into the world and thinking, well, we're going to live good lives and we can have the world as well. No, we can't. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. What did he say? Here's the instruction. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If anyone love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, here it is, the lust of the flesh. What does it say in verse 4 of 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4? It says, we've escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. All that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's not of the Father, it's of the world. The world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever. We've escaped the corruption that's in the world. Let's desire godliness. Let's seek those things that pertain unto life and godliness. According to his divine power, that's what he has given to us. Let's receive it. And then we get some add-ons. Here they are in verse 5 and onwards. Beside this, give all diligence. Add to your faith. Here are the add-ons. Add to your faith virtue. Virtue. That's the origin of the word again. That manly characteristic of valour. Bravery, if you like. Valour. Add to your faith virtue. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Hallelujah. That's valour. You need that valour. Why? Because in Ephesians, Paul tells us, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in high places, in the heavenlies. That's what we are in combat with. We need to be men and women of valour for the Lord. Add to your faith valour. We're in a battle here. We're in a battle. We can't live our lives as some Christians seem to be, in dabbling with the world and putting in an appearance on Sunday and so on. No contest. Why is there no contest? There's no threat from such people to the enemy kingdom. But once we start moving in the power of the Spirit of God, we're going to need that valour that the Lord can equip us with to stand and be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might to do what it says in Ephesians. And what it says in Ephesians is this. In the last chapter, chapter 6, it says, finally, brethren, it's verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Not our strength, his might. Put on the whole armoury of God, that you may be able to withstand, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. There's a battle on. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's the battle that's on. We need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Take unto you the whole armoury of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Standing victorious. There's the weapon, the sword of the Spirit. And you know my translation of that one? The sword of the Spirit, which is what the actual Greek should read as. The sword of the Spirit, who is the Word of God. It's the Spirit who is the Word of God. And that word, that word, is the Greek word, rhema. There are two words, logos in the beginning was the Word. And Rhema, which refers to that spoken Word of God, that living Word of God. That's the sword of the Spirit, that we know by revelation of the Spirit. Hallelujah. It's the living Word of God. It's living and alive for every situation you meet now in life. There's victory in Jesus. It's good to know the Bible. It's good to know the Word of God. It's good to know the written Word of God. It's good to know the Logos of God. But we need to live by the revelation of the Holy Spirit, applying the Scriptures to our hearts and lives, that that Word may become this living Word applicable to every situation that we meet day by day, moment by moment. It's the wisdom we need as we come face to face with the enemy and with the hosts of the enemy. So we have the armour of God and the sword of the Spirit, who is the Word of God. Oh, hallelujah. We can stand in the Lord. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. Not that human knowledge we cram our heads full with, but the knowledge of God's will, the knowledge of God's Word, knowing what God wants. Temperance, enkratia, temperance. You know, temperance is usually thought of from Victorian times onwards as not drinking too much. No. Control your drinking. Well, that's good advice. And the best advice is don't drink it at all. Because the temptation that comes when you have, oh, it's only just one. But at the end of the one, it's all just another one. But this word temperance actually means, enkratia, the word that's been translated temperance, it means self under control. It's often in new versions of the Bible translated as self-control. That's not it, because self-control is self in control, and that's fine in the world where people can manage their lives and keep themselves in order. But in the scriptural sense, as believers, this self-control is self under control. You see, these are the manifestations of the fruit of the Spirit, and the last aspect of that ninefold fruit of the Spirit is self under control. The fruit of the Spirit. It's not me in control, it's the Spirit in control. Self under control. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. So we're adding to knowledge, temperance, self under control. And to temperance, patience. Patience is that idea, the word it's translating is that idea of endurance. And in endurance, you've got the idea of in hard circumstances. In hard circumstances, in difficult circumstances, you progress. You endure the hardness, the hardship. Again, the Greek word is a word which means, and I've told you this over and over again, it's hypomone. It means under, remain. Remain constant under any burden, any oppression. There are times when we are called to go through difficult times. It feels we're under a burden, we're being pressed down, we're being crushed. But faithfulness and patience is, in that situation, remaining constant. Not giving in, not yielding to the enemy. Times get difficult sometimes, and this needs to be proclaimed, this needs to be preached. Times do get difficult. We can't kid ourselves that it's going to be, everything's going to be fantastic from now on. It is. In those fantastic times, there'll be times of trial. There'll be times of conflict. There's a battle going on. And the believer must remain constant in those situations. Even though being pushed down, we remain true to the Word of God. We remain true to the calling that we've received. And as we remain constant, as we remain in that situation, the Lord will bring us through. Hallelujah. He will throw off the yoke. He will deliver. These are the things to add on, to add on. There are add-ons all the time. Add on to your faith, virtue, that courage, that bravery, knowledge, knowing him and his word, self-control, self-under-control, under the control of the Holy Spirit, patience, that's enduring, that's remaining faithful even when the going gets tough, and to patience, godliness. We can only be know godliness in our lives as day by day, moment by moment, we're filled with the Holy Spirit. He is holy. As we're filled with the Holy Spirit, be filled with the Spirit. And to The Corinthian church, Paul gave that exhortation, didn't he? To rejoice. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves, one to one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. And as we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we can know true godliness in our lives. For the Holy Spirit is the Lord, is God. And we're filled with him as we're filled with God. My heart is filled with God, walking where the saints have trod. We need to be filled with God in our hearts and lives. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. There's a place in America called this. It's a state. Do you know the state of brotherly kindness? There's a church in the book of Revelation that's got this name. The churches that were written to in the first couple of chapters, in chapters 2 and 3. There's the sixth church, which the name of which... Philadelphia, yeah. I was going to get on to it, it's the cream cheese. Philadelphia. Philadelphia means brotherly kindness, brotherly love. And we're called to brotherly kindness and brotherly love. The church that was called Philadelphia in the book of Revelation gets a commendation, and they're going to be ready when the Lord comes. And to brotherly kindness, and to Philadelphia, charity. That is an old word which has changed its meaning these days. It's still connected with the idea, but the old word charity in 1611, when this Bible was translated, was made. Charity meant love. And that's what it's translating, the word agape. And the word agape in the Bible is a special kind of love. There's phile, which is Philadelphia, brotherly love. But agape love is a love that doesn't ask to be loved back. It's divine love. It's the love of God. He loved us when we were unlovable. He loved us when we were sinners. He loved us when we were against him. God's love was shown to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There's the love of God moving to save us even before we come to that place of repentance and faith in him. And God wants us to know that love in our lives. It's not a love that is natural to us, but it is a life which is a characteristic of the one that's born again of the Spirit of God. It's the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. Oh, let that love of God radiate in our lives. In the first epistle of John, John speaks again and again about that agape love, and that we as believers must radiate that love. He's given to us these wonderful things that we might live our lives to his glory and to his honour. And here's the plus factor. Isn't it nice to know there's a plus factor? Here's the plus factor, verse 8. If these things, these add-ons that he's been talking about, be in you and abound, they will make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what we need today, what we need here in Pitsea today, is for our lives to be fruitful for God. We don't want to be barren. We are getting impatient, or well, I am, we're getting impatient with the lack of response in this area around us. We want to see souls being saved. We want to see people being born again of the Spirit. And the Word of God promises us that if we live in this way that Peter is speaking, and our lives are godly and ordered, and receiving the things that God has provided for us, and walking in the way that he was, if these things be in you and abound, they shall make you that you should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He that lacks these things, he says, is blind, cannot see afar off, has forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. So, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. What a promise. We want to abound. We want to be victorious again and again. We don't want to fall at the hand of the enemy as a result of our disobedience. We want to be obedient and walking in this way that Peter has shown us, where we can be victorious and see mighty victories won. Hallelujah. And you shall never fall. What a promise. What a promise. Praise the Lord. May grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Praise his name.